do continue to pray for the pulpit committee. A good bunch of guys doing a good job. And pray for your deacons particularly. I know Brother Jesse here carries a heavy load as he's dealing with the chairman and Ron. Ron's biggest problem is putting up with me, right, Ron? Yes, he shook his head, yes, all right. Amen. Good to have you tonight. You glad to be here? How many would rather be in a jail than here tonight? Anybody? No hands, that's good. Let's take our Bibles tonight and let us turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 27, the price of making a wrong decision. The decisions that we make today will often affect what we are, where we are, and what we're doing 5, 10, 15 years from now. Make right decisions. It is interesting to know, as we look here at David, as we continue our studies, last time we dealt with David with his with Nabal, the portrait of a fool. But tonight, David somewhat will play the fool, because David here will make a decision that is absolutely hard for us to believe when you look at the decision, because he's a man after God's own heart. But keep in mind here, look there in chapter 27 in verse 1, and David said where? In his heart. It is obviously that David had lost his heart for God for a little bit. Have you ever lost your heart for God for a time? I have to confess I have. And I think if you think about it too, you will say, I have. David comes to the place in his life where he makes some... I want you to notice some thoughts here. Number one, he listens to the wrong person. Did you ever listen to the wrong person? You're going to find in this text, the wrong person is himself. Second, he lost his most valuable assets, his fellowship with God, his prayer life, his praise life, and on it goes. Thirdly, he lived too long outside of the will of God. You're going to see it's 16 months that he lives outside the will of God. I will tell you that 16 seconds is too long to live outside the will of God, let alone 16 months. And he thanked God he was loved by the Lord, and God was so patient with him. He's so patient with me, and he's so patient with you. Father, I pray tonight as we spend these moments together, speak to our hearts, I pray, in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus. Amen. He listened to the wrong person. Notice here in verse 1, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. Now, he did not get that idea from God. Who are the Philistines? Remember the giant that he killed way back there? He's willing now to go and live with the Philistines, which means he certainly has a heart problem. Now, keep in mind, be careful with the heart. Look over there with me to Jeremiah rather quickly. I could just quote it to you, but I'd rather have you turn to the book of Jeremiah and turn there with me to the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah for a moment. And during there, you'll see something very interesting in chapter 17. And so there, chapter 17, if you will, please. And look with me in the chapter 17, I'll get it here, verse 9, chapter 17 of the book of Jeremiah. Look there, if you will, please. Look at verse 9 of chapter 17. Highlight that verse. Highlight it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, that's the heart as you're born with it. I'm not talking to that. He talked about having heart problems. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your relationship with God. David was a man after what? God's own heart. But there are times, if you're not careful, you can lose the heart for God, and David doesn't. The problem of the heart The heart of the problem of the heart is always the heart of the problem. I'll try it again. The heart of the problem is always the problem with the heart. Watch your heart. Let me say three things here. Be sure to guard your heart. Guard your heart. David did not guard his heart. If you go back to Jeremiah, or back to our text in 1 Samuel chapter 27, David said in his heart, in other words, he didn't check with God. Note, the heart must be guarded against a takeover. Look with me over there, and I'm going to give you different passages, but when I go over there to the book of Proverbs, and I go to the fourth chapter, and if you care to turn there for a moment, it's chapter 4 and verse 23. He says, keep thy heart. The word keep here is the word to guard. Guard with all diligence. And the word diligent comes from the same word as the word keep. So literally, guard the heart with all guarding ability. In other words, double the guard. Because the heart can easily be deceived. It can easily cause you to go astray from God as it did with him. The heart must not only be guarded, but it must be guided by truth into the right person. Again, you're in Proverbs, so just go over there to chapter 3, a very familiar passage, is it not, in verse 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Now, what's the word trust? Trust God for everything. You ready for this? Even the things we don't understand. Trust him for everything. How easy it is to trust God for the things we think we understand. Trust him for everything, even the things you do not understand that God brings in your life. Trust that God is doing what is right. So the heart must be guarded and the heart must be guided there by trust. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thy own understanding. David leaned into his understanding. And his understanding certainly was how can you go to the people that were your enemies? He does that. Heart must not only be guarded and be guided, but the heart must be grounded in the truth of God's word. It must be grounded in the truth of God. Go to the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119, and look with me real quick at verse 9, 10, and 11. Because here we see the heart must not only be guarded, guided, but it must be grounded in the truth. You must come to some conclusion. Look there in verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed therein according to the word. With my whole what? Heart. There, we're talking about the heart here. Have I sought thee? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Listen to me. Our heart is prone to wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel prone to leave the God I love. How true that is. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against. Where did they hide the word? Where? In the heart. Because the heart must not only be guarded, guided, but it must be grounded in the truth of God's word. Hide the word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Now get this. The heart of the problem. Now notice the hand of God is greater. The hand of God is greater than the hand of Saul. Let's go back here to our passage. Why is he fleeing? He's afraid what? Let's read verse 1 again. Let's read it again. Let's read the whole verse there. And David said into his heart, that's 1 Samuel 27, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Now, would you write Psalm 36, verse 15 right there? Psalm 31, verse 15. I want you to write that down there because it's so vital to understand. What's he say in Psalm 31, 15? Get this. My times are in thy hand. Whew. He's saying over here, he says, there's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. Shall Saul despair of me to seek my life any more on any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. Out of his hand. Hey, you're already escaped from. When you're in the hand of God, I've learned that the hand of God is a lot stronger than the hand of the Sauls of our life. His hand is so much stronger, and you can stay safe in him. And so he listened to the wrong person. The wrong person is yourself. Why? Because we have a sin nature that is out to lead us astray, out to take us out of the will of God. Notice not, he not only listened to the wrong person, but he lost his most valuable assets. If you read this chapter, you'll discover two or three things. He doesn't even pray about it. He's talking to himself. He's not talking to God in this passage. He's talking to himself. How many times I've seen people make wrong decisions by not praying about them because they're too busy listening to themselves speaking. I was thinking of a family who came to me one time. The husband was one of our deacons, good man, great man. And he said, you know, we're moving. And I said, oh man, we're going to hate to lose you. You've been such a great help to our church in California. He said, well, I got the perfect job. He said, I got a tremendous raise, and on and he went. And I said, well, that's good. I said, do you have a church? He looked at me with kind of a blank look on his face. He said, I don't know if there's a good church there or not. Now, folks, listen to me. Don't move because of a good job and not have a good church. Somebody say amen. How true that is. He came back to me 2 weeks later. He said, you know, I've looked everywhere. There's no good church in there. But, you know, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't. And he lost his family. Kid just went the wrong direction because he made a wrong decision that cost him a lot for his family. He lost his, there's no prayer life. There's no praise in this. He's lost his joy. David wrote so many of the Psalms that dealt with joy. He wrote no Psalms during this time. Now, if you read, most of the Psalms are written by David, but there was no Psalms written by this time. No praise, no prayer, no Psalms, no relationship with God. He lost his fellowship. He also lost his freedom. He becomes a captive to his, he becomes a slave to his own decision. How many times I've seen people down through the years in the ministry become a slave to the decision they made. It was the wrong decision. They don't know what to do about it. Well, the thing to do is repent and get back with God. And they become a slave. He lost his freedom. My Bible tells me in John 8:36, if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. But when you make a wrong decision, you become a slave to that decision. And so he lost not only his fellowship, but he lost his freedom. If you read this, he will make decisions that are absolutely asinine. Hard to believe that this chapter 27 is the same David we've been talking about through this book. He also not only lost his fellowship and his freedom, but he lost his faith. Now, I didn't say he lost his salvation, but the moment if you lose your fellowship with God, it will damage your faith. You will no longer believe what you used to believe. Notice some thoughts here. What it means to lose your faith. You lose your faith when you lose your faith. You forget the promises of God. Why is he worried about Saul? Saul's going to kill him. It was impossible for Saul to kill David. You know why? Because of the promises of God. Go back to the 16th chapter of the same book. What do you find there in the 16th chapter? When the seven sons of Jesse went before Samuel, Samuel said, not this one, 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 not this, no more. Then came David. And when I come over here, verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. But don't worry about it. He's not qualified. Well, God had other plans. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till you come hither. He sent and brought him in. Now was Rudy a well, all of a beautiful countenance and godly to look unto. And the Lord, look at the rest of verse 12. And the Lord said, arise anoint him, for this is he. Now that's the promise of God. I saw a sign that said, somebody said, God said it, God says it, I believe it. Whether you believe it or not, God said it, it's true. Keep in mind, David is going to be the next king. It's going to happen. But when you lose your faith, the evidence of it is you forget the promises of God. You also will forsake the will of God. He's definitely, as you read this whole chapter, you see that he's not in the will of God. And you also find yourself serving the enemy. Let's read down a little bit. Let's go back to chapter 27 and verse 2. And David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt. Now the word dwelt is a word which means to settle down, to accept. Look there, and David dwelt with Achish at Gath, and he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, and Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath. He sought him no more again for him. Now, it's true that he didn't have to worry about Saul any longer. But I tell you what, he didn't need to worry about him in the first place, because God already promised him. So he forgot the promises of God. He forsook the will of God. He decides to dwell with these people. And he finds himself serving the enemy. Now, you say, wait a minute now, preacher. What enemy could I ever serve by stepping out of the will of God, losing my faith? Yourself. The worst enemy you have is the one that you live with. I don't mean your spouse. I'm referring to yourself. That's the worst enemy you have. And David's was his worst enemy because he was out of the will of God. He certainly forsook that will. He forgot the promises of God. He find himself serving the wrong enemy. And he certainly fails to live out what was on the inside. Now get this. David on the inside was an Israelite, correct? All agree with me on that? But on the outside, he became a Philistine. He began to accept what they believed. He began to live with them. And you will find here, he will serve them. Look there, if you just move on down. Let's look at verse 6. Some there were different thoughts. Then Achish gave him, now David said to Achish, verse 5, if I have now found grace in thy eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag. Now, you know what the word Ziklag means? It means to be bent. You know a problem with David? He was bent away from what he was on the inside. He becomes what he shouldn't have been on the outside. You see, that's what happens whenever we lose our faith, our freedom, and our fellowship with God. We become on the outside something that doesn't match what we are on the inside. And it happened to David there. Look there in verse 12. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel, look at verse 12, utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. He failed to live right before others. On the outside, he looked like a good Philistine. On the inside, he was an Israelite. And I have found when you lose your freedom, your faith, and your fellowship, you're still a Christian on the inside, but pardon my grammar, you ain't one on the outside. You can't tell the difference. I'll never forget when I got saved, I used to go hang around with some guys, and I remember Jim Hyatt picked me up one time. I didn't have a car at that time, and And I just gotten saved, and we were going to outdo things that I don't want to talk about here, but I got in the car with Jim, and I said, Jim, I hate to tell you this, buddy, but I've been a Christian. I've just got saved. I just can't do those things anymore. You know what he said to me? He said, well, John, I'm saved. I got saved a few years back. You see, on the inside, he might have been saved. I'll let God handle that part of it. But on the outside, he was carnal and backslidden. There wasn't any Christianity in demonstration. And I find that to be so prevalent in our churches today. On the inside, yeah, I'm a Christian. On the outside, I'm anything but a Christian. That's David. I come over here to chapter 28. I read here in verse 1 and verse 2, and it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered themselves, gathered their armies together to warfare, to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, get these words of the king now. David had become so much like a Philistine. Said unto David, know thou surely that thou shalt go with me to battle and thy men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of my head forever. And I was going to promote him. The world would love to promote you, offer you what it can, so that you'll live differently on the outside than what you are in the inside. Let me just one other point here. Think with me that David, look, go back up to verse 2. David rose, he passed over with what, 600 men? Verse 2 is 600 men. Verse 3, he takes his family. Let me tell you something, folks. Whenever you lose your fellowship, your freedom, your faith, it affects everybody around you. His whole family was affected by the decision that he made. Don't think for a moment that whenever you and I walk away from fellowship, that freedom, and our faith, that it only affects us. I hear people all the time say, listen, it's my life. I'll do what I want. That's not true. It's not, number one, it's not your life, and you will not do just what you want because others will do what you are teaching them to do by your activities. And so we recognize the truth of that. Now we see here, he certainly listened to the wrong person. He listened to himself. He lost his most valuable assets, your prayer life, your praise. He wrote psalms. He enjoyed God so much he lost it all. Didn't write one psalm during this period of time. He lost his freedom. He lost his faith. Now, thirdly, notice he listened to the wrong person and he lost his most valuable assets. But he lived too long outside the will of God. Number six, get this. He stayed too long and he strayed too far. Mark that. If you go down here to verse 7. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. That's 16 months. He stayed too long outside the will of God. It will affect him, I believe, the rest of his life. It will make an impact on his family. He not only stayed too long, but he strayed too far. Achish, the king, just believed. He believed this guy, David, is now turned into a Philistine. Wow. You know someone right now who's lost his freedom, lost his fellowship with God, lost his faith? That's David. That's that person. God help us today. Please realize he sinned. Not he steadily stayed too long and strayed too far, but I've already mentioned he sinned too deeply. When your life affects, 600 people are affected by his life making the wrong decision. His family is affected. Let it not happen to us. Let's be careful with it. But I want to conclude by saying this. He was not only listened to the wrong person, that's yourself. He not only lost his most valuable assets, those ones that I mentioned. He not only lived too long outside the will of God, but thank God he was loved by the Lord. He was loved by the Lord. You come to chapter 29 because it's still with the Philistine. Just drop over there to chapter 29. And we read here, now the Philistines gathered together all their armies of Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by the fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on their on the rearward with Achish, that's the king of Gath, the Philistines, that is. Then the princes of the Philistines, which do these Hebrews here, what do these Hebrews here? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is not this David? I'll try it again. Said to the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with us these days or these years? And I found no fault in him since he fell in the meal. That he found no fault. It's pretty bad when the enemy says, boy, he's doing all the good wrong things. He's doing all the wrong things. Isn't that great? Doing all the wrong things. And we know that the princes of the Philistines, verse 4, were wroth with him. The princes of the Philistines said, make this fellow return that may go again to the place where thou hast appointed him. Let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith shall he reconcile himself unto his master, should he not be with the heads of these men? David becomes a man without a country. Philistines don't want him. Israel probably doesn't care to have him right now. They know what his reputation is. He's a man without a country. And that's a terrible, terrible place to be. You know what? I think there's only one thing worse than being a person without a country, is being a person without a church. For when you, how many know somebody who used to be, come here faithfully, don't go anywhere right now? You know somebody. Would you just raise your hand? I'm just curious. Anybody? There's several of you. Raise hands. It's bad to be without a country. It's worse to be without a church. To have that fellowship, that freedom that is there, and he became a man without a country. Many become a man without a church. He also became a man under the chastisement of God. Whom, my mama used to tell me, bless her heart, she used to say, Johnny, you do that again, I'm going to beat the tar out of you. I never figured out for sure what she meant by that, but she had a belt. To me, it was 6 feet wide and four feet long and had spikes in it and everything. It wasn't really that way, but that's what it looked to a young man. So I'll beat tar out of you if you act up again. I want to say this reverently. There are times when God has to beat the tar out of us. Straighten us up. I want you to turn to three references. Two of them are in the Psalm 119. So turn to Psalm 119. I'm talking about chastisement. As I turn to Psalm 119, you look two verses there, and then the third one we'll conclude in the book of Hebrews. But we come over to Psalm 119. And look with me at verse 67 and verse 68 and 69. Now, verse 67, I get this. Here's God's reason for chastising us. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. The reason for chastisement is we have left God. Look there. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but God afflicted. He beat the tar out of me. You know, because he loved me. My mama would whip me and say, son, I love you. It didn't feel like it. Sometimes the chastisement of God doesn't feel like God loves it, but I want you to know something. Later on, you're very thankful for it. So here you find God's reason for chastisement. Then you find, secondly, our response to chastisement. Notice, if you will, please, in verse 71, It is good for me. Would you underline those words? It is good for me that I have been what? Afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The word afflicted means has the idea of being chastised. The reason is I went astray. Response is I've learned something. Every time the Lord chastises, he wants us to learn something. He says in verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statute, might learn the meaning of what Christian life is all about. Then turn to the final verse in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We find the reason for chastisement, because I went astray. Response to our church to learn what God wants us to learn. Now he deals with the rewards of chastisement. You know there are rewards for being chastised? Look here in chapter 12. Matter of fact, that whole section there from verses 3 down to the end of verse 17 deals somewhat, end of verse 15, deal with chastisement. But in particular, look with me, if you will, in verse 11. Now, no chastening, for the present seems to be what? Joyous. There's no joy in being chastised, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them who are exercised thereby. You'll get a peace that passes all understanding because you know that God loves you. I want to tell you this. If you feel for one moment that you can walk out of fellowship, lose your faith, lose your freedom, and still not have any chastisement, you better get saved. Because only a child of God is chastised. If you just back up to verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh to you as unto children. My son, look at my son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you with what, sons? For what son is he to whom the Father chasteneth not? But if even without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then you are a bastard, not a son. That's a horrible thought. You're not a legitimate son of God. So tonight, as we conclude our service, I thank God that David will come back. He will leave that scene. And he gets quiet. Why did he? Because the Lord loved him. He was a man without a country for a while. He was a man who was under great chastisement. And David came back to God. Look at chapter 30 for just a moment as we close. And look there in verse 7. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 6, because when David was spending all this time dealing with trying to be a Philistine on the outside as well as an Israelite on the inside, you remember what happened? His family, the raiders, the Amalekites, took captive all of his family. And the Bible says in verse 6, and this is key, and David was greatly distressed. This was part of the chastisement. God just had the Amalekites drag his family away. Didn't kill any of them. God was good. For the sake of David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, because why? The enemy had taken with David encouraged himself in the Lord. Get this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I get from that verse, David's on his way back. He encouraged himself in the Lord. When you open in our thought here in chapter 27, he's listening to himself. But here he's listening to God. Hallelujah for that. God, he was responding, and David said to Abiathar the priest and to Ahimelech, son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. Now this is God. This ought to be a hallelujah verse for David. And he answered David. Up till that time, he and God was not on talking terms. But he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Wow. I'm so glad there's a way back to God when we backslide. I'm glad, and that it comes through chastisement. David is distressed, but he encouraged himself in the Lord, and he got all of his family back. He got every one of them back. I don't know where you are today with this thought. If you're listening on the online, or if you're here this evening with us, and God is dealing with your heart, but I'm wondering, have you become Philistine on the outside and still a Christian on the inside and Israelite on the inside? Are you need to get some things right? He listened to the Lord. Who are you listening to? Chapter 27, he's listening to his sin nature. Chapter 30, he's listening to God. Let's all stand together as we have our song leader come and close our passage here, our message tonight. But I'm wondering, with our heads bowed and God dealing with our heart, if you have some things in your life that are not right and God is dealing with you, you need to find a place at the altar. There's an altar for you. You come tonight and let God be God in your life. If you lost your prayer life, it just sort of faded out. You lost your joy. You can get it back tonight, and I pray that you will come tonight or find a place to the altar or where you are as we sing two stanzas of a closing psalm. Danny, you're going to lead our song. Okay, you come ahead, sir.
Hymn 308, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live.
Dismissed. I want to say that we want to remember our pulpit committee. They're moving forward. I think that's the best thing I can say to you. Isn't that good? They're not going backwards. They're going forward. So I want to pick a couple men tonight, and I'll thank Earl. Would you pray for our pulpit committee tonight? And then let's see. Alan, you're on the pulpit committee. I want to pick someone on the pulpit committee. You know what we're going through. So let's you do two men. Think of our pulpit committee tonight as we close.